A transport survey carried out by Macra and Afirma Rural Youth Committee last year found that 86% of Macra members required a private vehicle to commute to work, while just 21% said they were satisfied with public transport in their area. Now, Macra and Afirma has called for reduced driving test waiting times, and I do know that in certain areas, driving waiting times can be 10 weeks or longer, depending on where you are, and possibly double that in some rural areas of Ireland. To talk more about what the proposition is and the impact it's having on the members of Macra and Afirma, I'm delighted to welcome to the programme the president of Macra and Afirma, James Healy. James, good evening.
Good evening, Darren.
And James, I know you were out on the road yourself. You're on the motorway. You've pulled in. Great stuff. This is a problem, obviously, that is affecting your members. I suppose it's affecting a great many people out there. I know of somebody that went to apply for their driving test and they were told it could be 3 or 4 months. And I mean, it's just unacceptable.
It is, and I suppose as an organisation that represents rural young people, they are probably the cohort that is most severely hit by the changes that have been made. And I suppose while the law was always there and it said you should always be accompanied, I think there was probably the enforcement of it was probably a little lax, and it probably gave us all I'm as guilty of it as anybody. I'm sure that I drove unaccompanied when I was a provisional driver, but I think the changes now have highlighted the lack of support and infrastructure that is there for young people in rural Ireland and for everybody when they want to get around. You know, as you mentioned there, our public transport survey showed the absolute dearth of public transport in rural areas, and that leaves our young people in a very difficult position, because if you want to go to work, if you want to go to college, and even in the evening if it's to socialise or take part in an organisation like Macra and Afirma, it leaves you very inconvenienced, because, you know, there's no bus, there's no train, there's no service like that to take you where you need to go. And unless you're going to be willing to cycle 20 or 30 kilometres for a lot of these things, you know, you're sort of left with only one proposition. And, you know, you mentioned there the driving test waiting times. And I suppose 10 weeks is the target, or is the target average. But if you take areas like Skibbereen, which I know, I think it could be up to 26 weeks the waiting time is. And that is just absolutely unacceptable for young people who, you know, you can apply for your test at the day you turn 17. There's a minimum of 6 months there where you do your 12 driving lessons and that sort of thing. But then to say that you have to wait almost another 6 months to sit your driving test, the mind boggles at how it can possibly take that long.
And, you know, James, the other thing is, I mean, we still live in a world where people apply for jobs, and sometimes, and quite often, a full driving license will be required. You go for the interview, you're offered the job, and you're saying, well, I'm waiting to do my driving test, but the job isn't going to wait 2 or 3 months for you to get your test.
Absolutely not. And, you know, I've seen on the driving test application that you can tick a box and say that you need a driving test urgently, but that urgency could apply to almost everybody that's applying for a driving test, and that's not a realistic thing for them to offer. Because I know, for example, in the driving test centre in Wilton, I believe, that there's almost, 6,500 people have applied to sit their driving test in that driving test centre, and there is 7 driving test instructors there. So I'm not sure how many they get through a day, but they're certainly not going to get through 1,000 each in any short period of time. And as you say, and our survey reflected this, I think it was 34% of our member surveyed said that the lack of public transport was hindering their ability to seek employment. Because, say, maybe you can't drive, maybe you're... And look, driving is an expensive way of getting around. Nobody would deny that. But I think, you know, the lack of alternatives is, you know, hindering our young people massively.
Well, you know, it's quite timely, actually, James, that we're having this conversation this evening, because earlier today, the National Transport Authority were before the Transport Committee, the Transport Directors Committee, to highlight issues in rural Ireland where there are no bus services, obviously no train services, and indeed you know, very limited, if at all, taxi or hackney services. And they were trying to discuss ways of... Now, the cynic in me is saying they didn't go in there of their own volition. I know that Minister Jim Daly was out some weeks ago highlighting the issue of no transport, public transportation in rural areas, no availability of taxis and hackneys. And that's for a great many reasons. One of those is you can't get a taxi license. You can get a wheelchair, but you can't get a normal standard taxi license. But, you know, I get the impression the people at the top really in Dublin, they don't get it, what it's like for people living in rural Ireland, where at times you feel isolated. And I think of older people as well, that, you know, with the new drink driving rules as well, there's no way for them to get around, and people don't seem to be listening.
No, and I think you've sort of summed it up perfectly there. If you look at large urban centres like Dublin and like Cork, there are very good, you know, bus services, and because, look, that's the only service really that you're going to see in a rural area. But, and as a rural person, I'm not expecting the bus to pass my door. I know that I'm going to have to go a short distance, maybe to the local village or wherever, to get the bus. But the bus isn't there for me to get when I get there. It means that, you know, I live relatively close to Cork City. I'm half an hour out on a relatively main road. And I think, is there an intertown, I think the Tralee Cork bus might pass four times a day. And as to the best of my knowledge, that is the only bus service passing through the village. And that's just totally unsuitable for our young people. And I suppose as employment becomes more and more centralised in these urban areas, you know, bus services need to reflect the requirement that is there and to meet people's needs. And, you know, if it's employment, then there needs to be more buses in the morning. We see the rush for traffic. And if you had more buses, maybe you'd be taking some of those cars off the road, because I know certainly most of my friends, if they're not farming, they're maybe going to Cork or they're going to Mallow or somewhere, you know, in the Croom for a job, and they have to drive, and that's just the end of it. That's another car on the road. Whereas if the bus services were there, and I know our survey reflected this too, that I think it was almost 50% of the respondents said that if the bus service was there, they would use it. And I think that just goes to show that if you put something in place, the people of rural Ireland are only waiting for it to be put in place to use it.
And of course, I know this is sort of a side issue, but, you know, the news coming out over the last number of months that on post are going closing down certain post offices, that, you know, you'll be within 15 kilometres. Bully, that's great if you have a car. But if you don't drive, if you don't have a licence, and if there's no public transport, what in God's name are you going to do? I just don't think they get it with rural Ireland.
No, they don't. And what you'll find is that a lack of services will lead to a lack to people moving out of rural Ireland, and people moving out of rural Ireland will create a lack of this critical mass of people that you need to justify a service, and it's a downward spiral that they don't seem to see that they're creating. And while they're, you know, the likes of Ireland 2040 and all these things look like great drives, they look like a super plan for the future, but even at that, that's all based around majorly urban areas. And the idea of putting something in place that might drive employment in rural Ireland seems to be either mired in controversy or at the back of their mind. If you take rural broadband as an absolute essential that needs to be brought in, if nothing else, to offer the flexibility to people to maybe set up their business in their local village or to work from home, all of these things which will keep people in rural Ireland, keep our villages and our rural areas vibrant and active. And, you know, if we don't want Dublin to fall into the sea, then, you know, people are going to have to live somewhere else. And if you want that to happen, you need to be putting the services in place for people so that they can live in those rural areas. And I suppose, you know, young people go to college, you know, if they want to do a degree in college or any college course, they have to travel to Cork or Galway or Limerick or Dublin. And when they're there, then the jobs are there. So there's absolutely nothing for them to come home to, because the education and the jobs are both in those urban areas, and it leaves them with no choice. Even if they wanted to live at home, the option isn't there for them because the jobs aren't there. And you know, when you listen to the radio as well, some of the Dublin stations, they say, oh, people don't want to live in rural Ireland, but they do want to live in rural Ireland. They just, the ability to do it, but to have not all of the amenities that are available to you in an urban area, but some of them, and to have some of the services that are available to you as an urban dweller, they need to be there for rural dwellers too, so that we can continue to encourage people to live in rural Ireland.
Do you know, James, I'm sort of laughing away to myself here now because you paid reference to a comment about Dublin falling into the sea. I think there's a great many people around the country wouldn't necessarily object to that actually happening, and a few of our politicians with it. But anyway, we won't go down that route. Where to from here, James? Can you make submissions to the Department of Transport or indeed the National Transport Authority? Whoever is dealing with licensing, lads, you know, they need to do something about it. Let's not even create an urban-rural divide. Even for people in urban areas, 10 or 12 weeks is just beyond ridiculous. As you said yourself, it's 26 weeks in some places, possibly even more. So where to from here?
I think certainly, look, I think the changes have probably led to a bit of a jump in the number of people applying. And look, people have a certain amount of blame to accept here as well, because if you've been driving around on a provisional for years and years and you sort of said, all right, I need to get myself sorted, that is a problem. People not turning up for driving tests is also a huge problem. But I think if we can get people to be responsible in that fashion, the powers that be also need to recognise that there is an investment required in the number of driving testers that are in place. And I think it's been done in the past where there was a big push put on it, and there was a threat made about this subject, and there was a huge explosion in the number of applications. The testers were found to reduce those waiting times, and similar concentration and focus needs to be put in place on this occasion so that we can reduce the waiting times down to an acceptable length of time, and then to make sure that it's maintained at that, so we don't ever get this explosion again, and to make sure that the structures are in place to ensure that when people want to sit their test, that they can do. But by the same token, if you don't pass your test, then you have to obey by the law too, and you have to continue to sit your test until you are a driver that has earned the right to drive on their own.
Absolutely. Well, now, considering you are driving on your own at the moment, you're on the motorway, you've pulled in, and I'm very grateful to you for doing that. But James, listen, thanks for taking the time to talk to us here on CRY. I always enjoy chatting to you. We could chat forever, I know, but we'll catch up again very soon. But best of luck with this, and keep us updated on any progress, because it'll affect people down in East Cork and West Waterford as well.
We absolutely will. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Darren.
Safe driving, my man. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.